Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. One of the challenges on some of the special days of the year, such as Mother's Day, is that there are only a certain number of texts of Scripture which speak about motherhood. Motherhood is held very high regard in Scripture, but there aren't an infinite number of texts, and so I don't preach a Mother's Day sermon every year, but this year we're going to look at Mother's Day. And as we look at 1 Thessalonians 2, we see the Apostle Paul talking about his ministry and using motherhood as an illustration of how he as an apostle carries out the ministry of the gospel. And so there's much to learn both about our ministry as Christians and about mothers whose calling in life can be a model for what all of us are to be as followers of Christ. So we're going to read the first 9 verses of 1 Thessalonians. In fact, I'm going to read up to verse 12. But our focus this morning is especially on verses 6 through 9. So verses 1 to 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So we see here Paul calling on both motherhood and fatherhood as illustrations of what it means to be a minister of the gospel. So this morning I'd like to consider with you the topic of the high calling of motherhood, a model for ministry. Let's ask the Lord to help us understand his word as we look at it together. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is life. We thank you that it testifies to us of the Lord Jesus. We pray this morning that you would help us to understand the truths of this text as we consider our ministry as the witnesses of the Lord Jesus, but also how the apostle uses motherhood as an illustration of the characteristics that we need to exhibit. And thus, he honors motherhood as a calling from God that is worthy. May we do the same on this Mother's Day. And may we be faithful servants of Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we celebrate Mother's Day this morning and seek to honor the mothers among us here at Renfrew, it's good to remind ourselves that motherhood was never a human invention. It was a good gift of the Creator to the human race. The Scriptures tell us in James 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Mothers are God's gift to humanity, and like all of God's good gifts, this is one that should be appreciated and for which we should be thankful. It is also fair to say that motherhood is one of the most challenging callings that will ever be given any of us to fulfill. In fact, I think most of us guys would admit that we're not tough enough to be mothers. Since humanity's rebellion against God in the Garden of Eden, it has never been easy being a mother. Think about the cost that mothers sometimes have to bear. The first mother went through the heartbreak of losing her second son to the murderous hands of her first son. And every mother knows what it is to give of herself, often to the point of exhaustion, for the well-being of her children. And often the children, which is all of us, never really realize the cost or appreciate the sacrifice. Though not all mothers experience the same tragic loss and pain that Eve went through with Cain and Abel, all mothers know the sorrow of being unable to perfectly protect their children from all of life's trials and troubles. As well as that, all mothers know the hurt of pouring themselves out for their children and it not really being appreciated. Being a mother is not easy. I think we should all recognize that. I'm sure all the mothers here know. We live in a day and age when the family unit is in big trouble. Family breakdown is rampant in Western society, and the consequences are all around us. The anger and violence of many of today's young people, the lack of respect for human life, the absence of compassion, the brutality, the missing standards of right and wrong are all symptoms of deep problems. We can think back over the last 5, 10, 15 years to incident after incident. The Columbine massacre is the one that comes to my mind. But young people are struggling. Families are broken. The reasons are many and complex. And at the root is the age-old problem of separation from God that is the ultimate cause of all of mankind's problems. But there are secondary causes, and they are many. But the one that seems the most obvious to me in light of the pattern for life given us by our Creator is the breakdown of the contemporary family. Dysfunctional families tend to produce hurting and hurtful young people. No doubt some would protest that this is an oversimplification. They would plead poverty or drugs or violent movies and TV or video games, the influence of the internet, of course peer pressure, and then the insecurity of living in a world where the horrors of war are brought into our living rooms nightly by the media. Whether these are also causes of the breakdown of society and the violence amongst young people, or whether these are just additional symptoms, I'm not sure. But what I do know is that we can't set aside one of the bedrock institutions of human society given us by our Creator, and that is the human family. We cannot set that aside and expect society to maintain any semblance of sanity and purpose. And if the family is the bedrock of society, then the mother and the father are foundation stones. As we've said, motherhood is a difficult calling, but we need to understand that it is a very important one, a critically important one. This being Mother's Day, we're focusing on the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians, where he even goes so far as to use motherhood to illustrate some of the qualities that characterized his ministry. And his words here in verses 6 through 9 in particular of 1 Thessalonians 2 teach us that motherhood is a high calling from God that models characteristics needed by all believers in their ministry for the Lord. So we want to honor mothers this morning by recognizing the high calling they have. But there's a word here for every one of us if we are followers of Jesus, because these characteristics of mothers are meant to characterize all of us as we serve our Savior. So let's just consider for a few moments the high calling of motherhood. Firstly, it is a calling and it is a model for Christian ministry. Paul, as he talks about his ministry to the Thessalonians, which may have been one of the earliest letters Paul wrote to one of the first churches he planted, he talks about the reality that he has been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. And so he speaks not to please man, but to please God. And of course, all of us as Christians have that same responsibility. We have this gospel, this treasure in earthen vessels. We are the earthen vessels, but the gospel and the knowledge of Christ is a treasure, and we've been entrusted with it, and we are to speak this good news to others, and we are to do so not to please man, but to please God. And so Paul didn't come with words of flattery or with a pretext in order to express greed and receive things. He did not seek glory from people, but instead he contrasts all of that by saying, we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. He wants to encourage and strengthen these new Christians in Thessalonica to remain true to the Lord in spite of the suffering that they were undergoing as new Christians. He had been there for a short period of time. He had had to leave, and he had wanted to know if they were okay. He had sent back Timothy, I believe. He'd written a letter later, and this is that letter. And so as he wants to strengthen them to persevere as they're going through difficult times, not understanding why people would be turning against them because they're following the Messiah, and he seeks to remind them of his ways as a model of the Christian life and ministry. He speaks about his own suffering in verses 1 to 6, as well as his motives and the trust he has received from God. And all of this is to inspire these Thessalonian believers to persevere. Now the context here we find in Acts 16. When we read about Paul and Silas being thrown in prison in Philippi and beaten and put in the stocks and left. And we find them at midnight singing hymns of praise to God. And God in his mercy and sovereign power sends an earthquake and they are set free. And as a result, the Philippian jailer comes to faith in Christ. And then from there, they go on to Thessalonica. So as Paul reminds them of his ministry among them, he compares himself and his fellow missionaries to a mother caring for her children. His use of motherhood as a model of Christian ministry reveals that the apostolic attitude toward motherhood is that it is a high calling from God, something worthy of emulation. Something that his readers would have understood because motherhood is universal. And so, as we think about motherhood, we need to recognize that the Scriptures both explicitly and implicitly honor it as a great and high and worthy calling. Now, the reason I need to stress that today is because today it's under attack. It has been for decades now. And many women, and many of you who are women here today, would have experienced the pressures of being made to feel like you are second-class citizens. You're giving yourself to secondary and unworthy pursuits if you devote yourself to being a mother. And I think it's important that we understand that society looks at motherhood as it looks at the family and as it looks at God and as it looks at so many things from a perspective that is antithetical to the teaching of God's Word. And we don't take our values from a godless, secular society which is lost and perishing on its way to hell and doesn't realize it and refuses to acknowledge that it needs God. We do not take our values from them. Rather, we are to take our values from the Word of the living God and live in such a way that people around us who are lost see that they're missing something. And that begins for us by acknowledging the importance of motherhood and honoring women who give themselves to this. So as our look at some of the characteristics of motherhood here by the words of the Apostle Paul, we want to see two things especially that he reveals. First, what mothers are to aim for in carrying out their God-given task and what we are to honor them for and encourage them in. And also, secondly, some of the qualities and characteristics that you and I as Christians are to aim for as we are servants of the gospel. And I believe that applies to all Christians, no matter how we earn our living. And of course, especially it applies to those in full-time ministry or those who are considering it. But all of us are full-time ministry in the sense that we are called to be full-time Christians. So in verse 6, Paul says, as apostles of Christ, in essence as missionaries, we are not all apostles, but we are all called to be missionaries where God has placed us. Paul says, as apostles of Christ, especially, we could have stood on our dignity as we came to you. We could have demanded respect. We could have put on airs. Literally, he says, we could have been weighty. My version translates it, we could have made demands. The NIV says we could have been a burden, possibly financially. Paul could have been saying we could have demanded financial support from you. But even more than that, there's a hint of arrogance, perhaps, in the idea of pulling rank. He says, we could have done that. Not that Paul was arrogant, but he's saying that as apostles, we possibly could have come that way, expecting deference because of our high position. The ESV says, as I mentioned, we could have made demands on you. But that was not Christ's method. That was not the apostles' method. That is not to be our method as we go to people. We shouldn't go to people with the gospel and look down on them. We should not think, well, we're doing you a favor. You should be thankful to us and treat us well. Rather, we should be coming to serve. As we relate to people, whether they be brothers and sisters inside the church or people outside the church, we need to come to serve. The Lord Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That is the Christian calling, to serve with an attitude of a servant's heart. But it's interesting that he points to mothers as he gives an illustration of that. So there's a sharp contrast between what Paul possibly could have done, which would have been wrong, and what he actually did. In verse 7, he says, but we were gentle among you. We did not come and make demands. We did not put on airs. We did not expect you to serve us. We did not come with an attitude of superiority. The Christian comes with an attitude of a servant's heart. And Paul says, we were gentle among you like a nursing mother. In contrasting the apostolic attitude in ministry, and of course that's the Lord's attitude as well, Paul could think of no better illustration than a mother with her children. And unlike many people today who downgrade motherhood, who seek to make mothers who put the care and nurture of their children high on their agenda feel like they've opted for an inferior role, the apostolic and biblical attitude is that motherhood is a high calling from God. It is one that is worthy to be emulated by those who aren't mothers, even emulated by the very apostles of Christ, by extension by all who proclaim God's word, all who are believers. And so motherhood is a high calling from God, and I want to just affirm all who are mothers among us today, and it is a model for every Christian's ministry. Well, let's think about it a bit more. Verse 7, taking care of her own children, the essential role of motherhood. Being a mother is a complicated job. They talk about multitasking, and I think most of the ladies would say that they're better at it than the men. Probably so. It's a complex task being a mother. And like any complex task, the key to success is to isolate and focus on the essentials and to prioritize them and to relate them to all other responsibilities so that the central things are central. It is the essential role of motherhood that Paul focuses on in order to illustrate his ministry as an apostle. And the essence of being a mother is caring for her children. Now, that's not to say a woman who is a mother is nothing but a mother. She may have many other responsibilities. She may be the president of the Bank of Montreal. She's also perhaps a wife. Hopefully she's a wife if she's a mother, but can't take that for granted in our society today. She may have many responsibilities, but her responsibility as a mother is, in essence, caring for her children. The verb caring, as one writer says, conveys the idea of taking them in one's arms, fondling them, and keeping them warm and safe, just as a mother bird broods over her young. No human mother is perfect. And today, with the breakdown of the family, many mothers have an incredibly difficult and great challenge caring for their children, holding down a job, managing the finances and the housing and the food and the clothing, all kinds of other things, getting kids to school and back. Stop and think where we would be today without the care of our mothers. Even those, well, all of them, who aren't perfect. But even those rare cases where mothers fail to care for their children as they ought only serve as the exception which proves the rule. We expect mothers to care for their children. It is part of the DNA that God puts into motherhood. How good God is to plan the family, to give children mothers, and to give mothers that instinctive desire to care for their children. How important it is that we as the Christian church honor and encourage mothers to fulfill that task. Some moms today, and perhaps you could make a good argument that all of them, deserve medals for persevering, especially those who persevere on their own, caring for their children at great personal cost, and some of them soldiering on when there's no father on the scene. We Christians, of all people, ought to esteem mothers, ours and others, and to esteem them as worthy of all honor, and to do everything in our power to encourage them and to help them in their calling. In spite of what society tells us, motherhood is an honorable calling. It is the greatest calling for women, I believe. And I'm not saying that if a woman is not a mother, she is a second-class citizen. We have many spiritual mothers among us as well. And there are many other callings in life that are important. But there needs to be a corrective today in light of society's downplaying of motherhood. If the social engineers who were in charge had their way, all children would be raised in institutions and the human family would practically disappear and we would reap the consequences. We are reaping those consequences even now. So as Christians, we need to stand against the tide. We need to swim upstream. We need to stand for those values of God's Word that God calls us to stand for, and that includes motherhood, it includes fatherhood, it includes families, it includes worship. Those are the kinds of things. So we need to encourage and help mothers. All of us have ways of applying this to ourselves because we all represent Jesus Christ. And so as Paul, as a representative of Christ, looks to motherhood as an illustration of his ministry, we need to do the same. We need to apply these principles. And so the question is, do we care about people, those to whom we are called to be witnesses of Christ, those to whom we share the gospel? Do we care for them the way a mother cares for her children? Do we care for them after they become Christians and are babes in Christ? And as servants of Jesus Christ, are we willing to serve others, fellow brothers and sisters, those who don't know the Lord? Are we willing to put ourselves out for them, so that we might live Christ before them and open a door for the gospel? It would be good to see in our church family God moving in us with the result that there's creative, sanctified imagination that looks at our community. It says, how can we serve this community? How can we find ways as a church, or how can we as individuals where we live or work find ways of creatively serving people, just doing good to them? It may open doors for the gospel, but even if it doesn't right away, just being Christ to them. In our marriages, do we reflect this same servant heart exemplified by mothers? Do we express that servant heart toward our spouses? The essential role of motherhood is taking care of children. It's an attitude of service. But it should be an attitude that is reflected in the life of every Christian, because each one of us represent Jesus Christ to the people we rub shoulders with. It's a good exercise sometime to sit down and write down names, real names of real people who are in your circle of influence at work, at school, within your family, your neighbors, person at the checkout counter at the grocery store that you see once or twice or three times a week. Get to know their names. Pray for them. Pray about serving them in some way. Pray for opportunities to talk to Christ, to them about Jesus Christ. That is taking this servant heart of a mother and applying it in our lives as representatives of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, after we think about the high calling of motherhood and the essential role of motherhood, we can look at some of the elements of motherhood in verses 7, 8, and 9. These ought to characterize our ministry as Christians. In verse 7, we see that Paul describes the gentleness of motherhood. We were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. And that, of course, is contrasted with verse 6 and assuming our own importance. How we like to assume our importance. How we like others to acknowledge our importance. But are we easy to approach? Do we have a kindly disposition? Are we humble people? Or are we people who put on airs and expect others to bow to us, if not literally, at least in their attitudes? The Lord Jesus described himself as gentle. Are we gentle? Are we humble? Are we approachable and kind? Do we need to have our egos stroked? Are we more concerned about affirming and blessing others than being affirmed ourselves? Gentleness, characteristic of motherhood. In verse 8, we see the word love. The NIV uses the word love. ESV, fond affection. It's not the usual word for love. It literally means fond affection. And the idea here is affectionately desirous of someone, longing for them. It is a love and an affection for someone that moves us to do things for them. We're unable to remain passive. And here Paul reveals this affection for the Thessalonians moved him to share not only the gospel, but even himself, his own life. What a picture of gospel ministry and also of motherhood. A mother is one who thinks about her children constantly, especially when they are absent from her. She's concerned for their safety, for their health, their happiness, wherever they are. Sometimes when you're on the receiving end, it can be frustrating. Because sometimes it's hard for mothers and fathers as well, but mothers especially, to let go a little bit as the children grow up. As young adults, it can be frustrating as you're trying to spread your wings and become independent. And of course, your parents want you to be independent adults, and yet you're still their kids, and it's hard for them to let go. Young adults become frustrated and really can't understand, but your day will come when you have your own kids. Suddenly the shoe's on the other foot. And so you may feel frustrated now, but the day will come when it will be hard to let go. And you will try because you will remember. But it's still hard. I can tell you that from personal experience. So I've made my son promise never to skydive until I'm in glory. The parents here will understand, and the young adults will go, oh, these guys. But wait, your time will come. But there's that affectionate, fond longing for and care for that you can never really escape. Your life is tied up in your children. Well, as Christians, do we have that kind of affection for others? Do we look on people with compassion? I think of our Savior as he's coming down the hill, going to Jerusalem for the last time, knowing that he's going to be crucified. And he looks upon Jerusalem and he weeps because he knows what is coming. And not thinking about himself, but thinking about those people. Do we look at people who don't know Jesus with that desirous, fond affection, longing that they would come to know our Savior, that they would escape the wrath to come, that they would know the blessing of living every day with a God who loves them, living in communion with Him, living in obedience to Him, and experiencing the blessing of living life His way? So hard when you see people hurting themselves and they don't recognize it and they think you're crazy. And you can see what they're doing to themselves, but they can't see it. That was how the Lord Jesus looked upon them. That's how Paul looked upon the Thessalonians. And again, those who had come to know the Lord, he looked upon with compassion as his spiritual children. And of course, again, draws upon motherhood as the illustration of that so that his readers would understand how he felt about them. So the gentleness and the love or the fond affection are elements of motherhood that should characterize us. And then there's the grace in verse 8 when he talks about sharing the gospel, the good news. We were ready to share with you not only the gospel but also our own selves. A mother is moved by affection to do anything for her kids. And the best thing any of us, mothers and all of us, can do is to give Christ to people, to give them the gospel. I would say a word to mothers this morning, that you are in a most privileged position because you have the greatest influence on society. Oh, you say, I'm just at home with my kids. I don't lead corporations. I'm not a member of parliament. I don't pass laws. What influence do I have? But mothers influence the next generation. Mothers have a greater influence than anybody else. Don't waste your opportunity. Live out and speak out the gospel to your kids. But then again, that applies to all of us, doesn't it? Are we moved by affection for lost family members or friends or colleagues, neighbors? Are we moved to share the gospel and evangelize? The grace that receives pain and returns love because we've experienced God's grace. That grace that shares the gospel with those who mock or reject us because we know that they don't know what they're doing, even as the Lord Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We are called to have that grace, that gospel grace, and give gospel to people around us. And of course, that means giving self, which is the other characteristic or element of motherhood, self-giving in verse 8. Paul not only gave the gospel to those who were his readers, those whom he had been among, but he gave himself. Most effective missionaries are those who are not satisfied with merely delivering the message and saying, my duty's done. The love for the people they go to moves them to make themselves available, to sacrifice themselves. It's a costly ministry. Mothers know that kind of cost. All of us are called to pay that kind of cost. What mother ever has enough time for herself? The God-given instincts of motherhood move mothers to pour themselves out for their children. By the way, for those of you who aren't mothers, or even if you are a mother, but you have a mother, most of us need to recognize that most mothers need a break once in a while. They need to know that they are appreciated. Maybe I'm speaking especially to fathers and to children. We all need to wake up. And all of us, do we give ourselves the way mothers do to one another in our church family, especially to new believers? And what about those outside? Are we deliberately cultivating relationships with our neighbors and our classmates and our colleagues for the sake of the gospel? Do you have a way to rub shoulders with those that don't know Christ? Now, for most of you, that would be at work. It's a little harder if you're a pastor. Much of your work is spent with God's people. We all need to be creative in finding ways just to develop relationships with people who need Christ. I can say honestly that I play hockey both because I love to play hockey and because most of the guys I play with don't know the Lord, and it's an opportunity for me to be with them. We all need to do that. And then, of course, a characteristic and an element of motherhood is hard work. Verse 9, for you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. Who works harder than a mother of preschool-age children? Do we appreciate our mothers, all the years of hard work? Do we appreciate the mothers of our children? If you're a husband, Paul describes his life in ministry as labor and toil. But again, that is exemplified by most mothers. But of course, again, we need to apply that to ourselves. Do you and I work hard in the ministry of the gospel? Now, we're not all given the great privilege of being in the ministry of the gospel full time. But we are all ministers of the gospel full time, even as we earn our living at other jobs. We represent Christ. We serve others in our jobs. We serve them while we're doing our jobs. And we live out and we speak as God gives us opportunities to tell them about the Savior. So do we work hard? Do we do our jobs with diligence? For that too is a witness. And so the characteristics of hard work, and gentleness and affection and grace and a servant's heart. All of these ought to characterize us as followers of Jesus. And these are characteristics that are necessary for those who are mothers. It is a high calling to serve God. Mothers are a great model. And then finally, the motivation of motherhood. As we look at verse 8, Paul says, "You had become very dear to us." The first motivation for all of us, including mothers, is our love for the Lord. But secondary motivation is important as well. Paul says that it gives reason for this self-giving as well as for gospel ministry. It is that you have become very dear to us. It's normal for mothers to love their children. The child becomes dear to the mother, precious. Literally, it's beloved. And that is why we are horrified when we hear the very rare case of a mother who turns against her child. There's one in the news right now about a mother in the States, in Britain, who was Canadian, who's been arrested because she killed her own children. When we hear those things, we're horrified because it goes against human nature. Years ago, I read in Focus on the Family of a mother who exemplified the love for her child that we come to expect and which we are all called to give to people as servants of Christ. In the Focus on the Family article, it says this: "Diagnosed with breast cancer in the middle of a pregnancy, Jane Stilson declined the full range of chemotherapy treatment that might have arrested the cancer because it would have harmed her unborn child. She also refused the doctor's suggestion of abortion. That child, Jessica, was born healthy May 22nd, 1997. Jane, the mother, eventually lost her battle with cancer and died February 11th, 1999, less than 2 years later. Her husband wrote, "Dear friends, the Bible says in Philippians 1:21 that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Jane died peacefully in the hospital. She had completed her mission on earth, and God called her to His presence. Indeed, what a gain that is. Scripture also says that greater love is no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends," John 15:13. Jane courageously showed us that type of love by giving up her life for our daughter, Jessica, a sacrificial act of obedience to God and His Word, done with joy, peace, and contentment. She was a living example of biblical faith, choosing daily to trust the Lord to meet all her needs. Thank you all for faithfully praying for us. You are the main reason Jane survived as long as she did. God heard your earnest prayers. In Christ, Todd, John, and Jessica Stilson." That's a challenge for all of us, to emulate mothers in loving one another and loving those who are lost without Jesus Christ. Motherhood is to be recognized and imitated. Recognized for the high calling it is. It involves honoring our mothers and other mothers in our church family and mothers everywhere. It includes encouraging them to persevere in their high calling. Perhaps it means being available for help or counsel or even just to spell them off so that a mother can have a break. Especially it means that we uphold the high view of the family and the mother's crucial role in the family, as well as the father's. Motherhood is to be recognized. It is also to be imitated by all of us. The characteristics of a godly mother are to characterize us in our gospel ministry to others. And that includes ministry to the children of our congregation and our community. An opportunity coming up, put in a word of advertisement here. DVBS is approaching soon. We always encourage people to serve because we care about children. Ministry to children is not second class in any way. Do we care about those of any age who do not yet know Christ? Again, we imitate mothers by caring about people. Do we seek to help new believers grow in the Lord? Are we concerned about their struggles, their ups and downs in the Christian faith, the way a mother is concerned about the struggles of her children as they grow up? And then finally this morning, a last word to mothers. You've been given a hard task. Remember that anything in life that is easy is probably not all that important. Your task is worth doing. It counts for eternity. But also remember that the gospel of grace that you share with your children is for you too. None of us measures up. If you are a mother today and you feel that you've failed, if you are a woman who's had an abortion, remember that the grace of God is greater than all our sin, and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ is available to us all. God accepts us as we are in Christ. So if you're a mother today, whatever your failings, welcome to the human race. We're all failures. The grace of Jesus is greater than our sin. And so there is forgiveness. And if you're a mother today, persevere. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Keep up the good work. May all of us appreciate mothers, our mothers, every mother. May we appreciate them, may we encourage them, and may we emulate them for the sake of the gospel, that many people might come to know our Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for every mother in this church. We thank you for the spiritual mothers and the potential mothers. May we as your people value motherhood and fatherhood and the family, because these are your plans, your creation, your invention for the good of the human race. What a privilege and a high calling it is to be a mother. Father, we ask you to encourage all the mothers among us, and the spiritual mothers as well, and the potential mothers, and those who can't be mothers, because we're all called to represent Jesus Christ. We've all been given the dignity of a calling that is worth more than words can tell as we serve our Savior wherever He's placed us. Father, help us to look on this world as He did, with that compassion and gentleness and self-giving service and love that brings people into relationship with Him, that they might know the forgiveness of their sins and the gift of eternal life. Father, we thank you for that grace shown to us. May we show it to others as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's close with a hymn that exhorts us all to persevere in following Christ. It's higher.